Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
So, Kamala Harris expected to announce her Veep soon, which could mean for the first time in 15 days. I don't know. We'll see. She may, for the first time since she, you know, announced or was immaculated or whatever, she may speak to the media, maybe.
Or, you know, maybe just do it by video like that.
That
endorsement, that non-ringing endorsement from Obama and Michelle Obama, where they videoed her taking a phone call from the Obamas.
Hasn't done a single interview. That is incredible. I mean, you'd think overnight, Iran attacked us again. Troops injured.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing from either one of the presidents. So, and I don't know. I mean, you know, Joe, Kamala, nothing. Don't care.
We have a president now, Tara, because, you know, Biden is basically the former president and Harris is not yet the president. So,
stock market collapsing a bit. Nothing. She's changed every single one of her major positions and yet nothing. Not even, I mean, you would think that surely they could find somebody in the lapdog media that would lavish her with easy questions, but they're afraid of even that. Think about it. Who does this? Not even Joe Biden in a basement did this. 15 days after you announce you're running for president and you've got the nomination locked up, even though no American has ever voted for you for president.
Nor has there even been a convention yet.
Right.
We just did this. They just did this virtually. The Democrat Party.
15 days.
Yeah.
Not a single press conference. Not a single question taken. Not an interview. Nothing. You know what this reminds me of? This is like what the royalty in feudal times did to the peasants. Like, the peasants were going to hear from you when you were good and damn ready. And if you didn't feel like talking to them, then you just told them what to do. And they went and did their little things. And you just would, you know, send a crier out, a proclaimer. And if you happened to feel like talking to them, although you didn't have to, you might, you know, come out on the palace porch and say something or something.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Always out of reach of an arrow, by the way. So, I mean, this is what this feels like. It feels like we have royalty. It feels like a regime where if you weren't sure if the king was on his last legs, which member of the royal family would be ruling you next, but you knew they didn't give a damn about you and they were going to tell you what to do. That's what it feels. If this is weird, 15 days, because normally if you announce you're going to be president, you want to have, you know, a home run series of interviews you want to do, but no, not one. And we saw her back as she walked away off that tarmac. Good news, right? This should have been easy for her. Good news. We got the, you know, Russian, I don't know what they were, hostages? I don't know.
Yeah.
Back. I don't even know what to call them. Take credit. That should be a layup. Nope. Afraid to even take questions then. Turns and walks away from the media after reading from the binder. Meanwhile, going to be interesting to see who she picks. Let me tell you why. If you look at Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania, okay, Governor Shapiro outperformed Biden and outperformed Trump with the electorate of that state. So he should be a really good pick for them because they have got to lead. They have to win Pennsylvania and they have to win Michigan. They have to. Like, that should be ABC 1-2-3.
But Shapiro is an issue for them in Michigan.
Yeah, because he's Jewish.
Exactly.
And they're anti-Semitic, Olson.
Well, there's plenty of, you know, Middle Eastern descent individuals who reside there now and vote.
Well, yeah. The issue is if they pick Shapiro, who is openly Jewish, then they may have problems with their anti-Jewish vote in Michigan that they need to win Michigan. And there is anti-Semitic frothing rage online from the Democrat Party base. They don't like Jews all of a sudden. It's new, it's hip, it's hot. We've documented it here. It's bizarre, it's hateful, and it's horrifying. But this is who they are now. And for the first time, we've never seen this before. For the first time, the anti-Semitism of the Democrat Party, open as it is an actual factor in whether they will pick a guy who could probably help them win Pennsylvania, his other scandals notwithstanding, which for a Democrat don't really matter. I mean, they're not held to the same standard. People won't be told about it. I mean, I don't think that stuff matters. All that matters is that he's a Jewish guy. Here's Carly this morning, and she's playing audio off CNN. This is on Fox News. And it really is. It is amazing. Anti-Semitism is a factor now that you have to take into account when choosing a running mate.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is now a finalist to be Kamala Harris's running mate, but he is facing backlash from inside his very own party over his Jewish heritage and previous defense of Israel. One House Democrat says the attacks from the far left need to stop.
Those in the overly online left who are attacking Josh Shapiro's pro-Israel positions in a different way than they are attacking non-Jewish beep contenders' positions, they're just telling on themselves. There is a strong undercurrent of anti-Semitism to that. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, Will Sharp, a Jewish lawyer on Fox News this morning, and he's saying it's the problem here is the Democrat Party's probably too anti-Semitic to help this to pick this guy.
These attacks are real, and it's interesting because his stance on Israel is similar to many others in the Democrat Party, where he has come out in many cases against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, but supports Israel overall. So why the attacks on him?
Yeah, I think the normalization of anti-Semitism on the left is deeply scary to me. It should be deeply scary to all American Jews. I think one of the reasons that President Trump is polling higher with American Jews than any Republican candidate in recent history is the rise of radical anti-Semitism on the left that's infecting the Democrat Party and obviously impacting even high-level conversations like that over their next vice presidential candidate.
Yeah.
Exactly what you've been saying for some time.
You know, I've been warning about that for years, mm-hmm. I love Twitter and now X. I mean, the left, Jack Dorsey, when he owned Twitter, let the left fester. I think it's where a lot of it kind of boiled over with this anti-Semitic rage that he didn't censor while he was censoring everyone else for everything else. He let that sit. And I think that's where a lot of it fomented and grew and metastasized like a cancer. And again, Meghan McCain, other than me that I know of, is the only other person who's ever called him out on The View. She took a beating for it, but she called Dorsey out. And she said, you're censoring everybody else. You've got to stop this. This is out of control. You're letting these young, angry, left-wing men foment just grotesque anti-Semitism online. And this is what you get. I don't know what the deal is. I don't understand it, but maybe they do. Got me.
Just think it's interesting it's down to these two now. That's the only ones that are being mentioned.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's by design, if that's what they're trying to do to, take the attention off of something else, or if this is actually the two that are now. And quite honestly, I'm not too worried about either one of them.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to, like, normally you converse with the press when you pick a VP candidate. Are you just going to send a VP candidate out to give interviews while you hang out in a basement with Joe? Or, like, what is the plan here? Because, I've never seen this before. I mean, Joe Biden, even though they had to hide his dementia, and we knew they had to hide his dementia during the campaign, that's why he was in the basement, he would still come out from time to time, right? I remember talking about it at the time, he'd just have this very, very light schedule, and it was all very scripted, mm-hmm. right? With all the right reporters chosen to pick, picked to ask him what flavor ice cream he was eating. But he would at least interact with them in fake photo ops, right? Set up for him, and the ice cream was real. He ate that. But she's not even doing that. So I don't know. But maybe she'll talk to someone in the media today.
Well, they've already gotten a president across the finish line during an election by hiding him in a basement anyway before. So, of course, you can't use COVID as an excuse this time.
Yeah.
Or can you?
I don't know. I don't know.
We got a few weeks time for another pandemic, right, Tara?
Yeah, there's always time to work one in, you know? Time can always be found.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. you remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You ever see a liberal? You always know it's a liberal in traffic. They got one of those coexist bumper stickers on their bumper. And no matter which one of my kids I'm with, they're all under 16. They laugh at them. They're like, look at that adult. Thinks you could coexist with people you want that want to kill you. They'll laugh. I don't even have to prompt them. Because it's a silly way of thinking. Unfortunately, it's infected our entire Department of Homeland Security, apparently, and the Harris-Biden administration, breaking overnight from a congressional committee investigation. I told you it is now policy in the United States of America to release illegal immigrants, even if they're on the terror watch list. I told you. I did an old podcast on it, Battleground America podcast. And I said, this generation of Democrats believes that terrorists are really freedom fighters fighting the patriarchy like they are, that they can coexist with them on American soil. They believe this. I told you that. And that is why Mayorkas is letting them go. We had caught one or two. And I said, no, this is policy. We're going to find out this is policy. Guess what? It's policy. Or at least enough of them have been released from Department of Homeland Security custody that we can presume it is policy. Listen to this. Of the more than 250 illegal aliens on the terror watch list who were encountered by Border Patrol at the southwest border, this is between 2021 and 2023, the Department of Homeland Security released into American communities at least 99. Had them, knew who they were, didn't care, and released them.
But yesterday we learned for the very first time that 99 illegal immigrants on that terror watch list were released into the country. What possible explanation from the Department of Homeland Security could there be for releasing these people into our country?
Can we at least draw the line on terrorists, folks who are on a watch list, who want to help to destroy our country internally, possibly through terrorist attacks or other things? Is it at least possible we can get Democrats and those who believe open borders seem to be a good thing to at least agree that that's not a good thing? I don't know.
No, we can't. Nope. It gets worse. Remember the first of the ISIS guys that we caught, the news stories about that? That was from June. Summer's going fast. It was from June. Remember, there was eight of them. They were ISIS, Tajik nationals, because Tajikistan is a hotbed of terror right now. It's a big ISIS training ground, essentially, with the blessing of the government. It's a mess. Well, you know those eight Tajik nationals that we think got caught? Guess how three got here? They applied on the CPP1 app, got one of those fake QR codes. You're still an illegal immigrant, but you can use it to get through our ports of entry, including airports. And the three of those eight ISIS Tajikistani national illegal immigrants walked right in. They used the CPP1 app. I'm gonna come back to that in a minute. Meanwhile, we're also finding from the same congressional report that immigration judges only get all the information on these terrorists about 5% of the time. So guess what they're doing? Giving them asylum, green cards, putting them on a track to citizenship. An immigration judge granted bond to a potential terrorist earlier this year, letting him go after not being told the illegal alien was a national security threat. The nation's chief immigration judge admitted to the congressional committee. Only about 5% of immigration judges are able to access top secret information. So they're just rubber stamping what turned out to be terrorists. Why? Because Biden administration's hiding that from them for whatever reason. And this is the result. Immigration judges granted bond to at least 27 illegal immigrants on the terrorist watch list who were encountered between ports of entry. So we had them. We knew they were terrorists and we let them go. Why? The Democrats intend for us to coexist with these people. They do. They are going to normalize this. You're going to have a terrorist at your PTA meeting. And hopefully he doesn't have a bomb strapped to him, but maybe he will. In addition, immigration judges granted asylum to at least four terror watch list illegal immigrants, with at least two additional known or suspected terrorists having their cases terminated by an immigration judge. At least they caught those. Wow. So here we are, folks. We've arrived. They expect us to coexist on U.S. soil with terrorists. The Department of Homeland Security. Oh, remember this? When they give them the papers, you know they can fly, right? Like on domestic flights with you and I. In fact, the one from NBC News that they caught in April did. He flew several times. What? Using the identity papers. I bet you a lot of these guys have flown or we flew them in. He got right on a plane. So now, instead of the Department of Homeland Security protecting the homeland from terror, which is what it was founded for under George W. Bush, they facilitate the movement of terrorists into the country and onto planes. You can't make this up. And think what it says. They're not sneaking in anymore. They turn themselves over to these governments like they know the government is there to welcome them, help them get the papers that they need to function in this country. They're so unafraid, they turn themselves in to the Department of Homeland Security. And it works out for a lot of them, apparently. It works out for a lot of them. Just wow. Now contrast that with this very fake Kamala Harris, "I'm the tough one on the border" commercial.
On the border, the choice is simple. Kamala Harris supports increasing the number of Border Patrol agents. Donald Trump blocked a bill to increase the number of Border Patrol agents. Kamala Harris supports investing in new technology.
Yeah, okay. You know what needs to happen right now? I'm telling you what needs to happen right now. Why are terrorists using the CPB1 app to get into the country? Well, because Joe Biden allows it. The CPB1 app is fake. All you do is partner with the federal government to break the law together. They give you a QR code, makes it look official. You can use it to go through an airport, port of entry, right? We're giving that to terrorists. Okay. How can we stop that? Mike Johnson could stop funding it. He funded it. Expect, I'm not kidding. I've been watching his Twitter account this morning. Expect the Speaker of the House, who is a traitor. He is. He's responsible for this too. Claims to be a Republican. Claims. Expect an outraged statement. It's going to be hilarious given that he has funded all of this. Instead of doing what he promised when he was elected, that he would break the budget into 12 separate bills so we could go in and defund the CPB1 app. Instead, we find the whole time Mike Johnson is funding it. ISIS is using it to get into the country. He's going to pretend to be outraged. You watch. You know what I can't stand? I can't stand a Jesus freak like him. What are you praying to God, praying to Jesus? Oh, keep us safe, Lord, while funding the demise of the country. You know how Jesus could keep us safe? Mike Johnson right now defunds the CPB1 app. Right now. No more praying to Jesus. No more Jesus freak stuff. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the pretend from this guy. Wearing Jesus like a cloak while he screws us all over. People are gonna die because of Mike Johnson, because he lied to get elected while telling us, you should see his Twitter bio. He's all Jesus this, Jesus that. Well, you know what? Jesus can help us, but he needs to use you, Mike. So stop telling us about Jesus and go get to work. Go get to work defunding the CPB1 app. And don't give us this fake crap this morning about your outrage. You paid for it. And that's why Biden was able to use it as recently as June. This is on you too, Mike. It's on you too. And I don't want to see an outrage press conference either. I'm sick of the pretend. The slogan of the 2024 Olympics should be, "I can't win. She's a man." The words actually spoken by the poor boxer who had to fight one of the two male opponents, and they are male. We know that now. So I can't let this go. I got to tell you what's broken overnight, because this is fascinating. If you've been watching this drama at all, there's just two boxers, not one, there's two. One is named Damani Khalif, the other one Lin Yu Ting. Okay, there's like this rumor that Khalif was born with some sort of intersex kind of weird chromosomal thing, But that's not been confirmed. It's only been hinted at. There's no medical records. There's nothing. Lin Yuting isn't even claiming that. Lin Yuting is just an XY chromosome individual. That's a man. There are only two kinds in nature, XX and XY. I'm an XX. I'm a woman. XY is a man. He's a man. He's a man. So if you've been following the news, the woman whose nose, the Italian boxer, whose nose Amani Khalif broke, that fight lasted 46 seconds. And with her broken nose, she said she'd never been hit so far, so hard. She quit the fight, fell to her knees and cried because her dad, who had died, had trained her. And she had promised to win for him. She didn't expect to be smashed in the face by a man. So that's what the world saw. Okay. Well, she then had to apologize to Amani Khalif because she was so brutalized by the left online. And then Khalif gave this interview saying that she'd been bullied and the world needed to stop bullying her and Lin Yuting and just leave them alone and all of that. Okay. Now, here's what's been missing from this whole thing. The mainstream media will not tell you this because they lie or they obfuscate. The Olympic, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, has not said, will not say, refused to say what tests these women, I put that in air quotes, took or passed. They said they've been tested, but they wouldn't say what. So it sort of creates this veil of confusion. Well, maybe, you know, maybe they sort of are. We didn't know. Well, now we know. Perhaps, Red State writes, if the International Olympic Committee had been more forthcoming about what testing has been done and why there's a difference between their testing and the International Boxing Association, there wouldn't be so many misconceptions. But then if they told us the truth, they'd have to tell us they're both men. That is the undeniable scientific conclusion. No other conclusion can be arrived at when you test XY with a blood test, and now we know. Overnight, the International Boxing Association released what tests both of these individuals, Amani Khalif and Lin Yuting, took. They took a blood gender test. You don't get to fail that. There's nothing in between. It's XX or XY. Bottom line. Super simple. And they didn't just take it once. They took it twice. Both of them. Both of them tested XY. That is male chromosome. Again, in nature, there is nothing in between. And again, Lin Yuting isn't even claiming to have been born with some sort of gender situation genetically. Not even claiming. In fact, Lin Yuting signed a document acknowledging that he had tested male. The Olympics let him fight anyway. He smashed a woman in the face the other day. Whereas Khalif refused to sign the document acknowledging that she had tested male. Sorry, he had tested male, and it doesn't matter because he tested male. So because the Olympic Committee hid the tests that were, you know, conducted on these two, we still don't know what they were. Confusion ensued. But now there's no confusion because the International Boxing Association has released it. Now, when Amani Khalif did that tearjerker interview that was one of the top trending stories in the world, I know because I have the topic pulse to see it. I went, oh God, are people going to fall for this? When Khalif did that boohoo whining interview, oh no, I was raised as a girl, I get to fight. Doesn't matter. You tested XY. In that interview, when the interviewer asked her, when the interviewer asked him what tests he had undergone, he would not say. Why? Because he knew he had taken the blood test for gender and was a man. X, Y. Super simple, not confusing. Not confusing at all. Listen to this. The International Olympic Committee's own MyInfo website acknowledges both boxers failed the gender eligibility test last year. And that Khalif was disqualified just hours before her gold medal showdown against Yang Liu in the 2023 World Championships in New Delhi, India. After her elevated levels of testosterone failed to meet the eligibility criteria. Now we find out what we did not know until yesterday afternoon. For certain, she failed and is a he. XY chromosome, absolutely definitive. Absolutely definitive. And that is why Imani Khalif, when asked by the journalist, as she's boohooing, oh no, poor me, I'm being bullied, and they say I'm not a woman. And she's asked, what test did you take? And wouldn't say why, because Khalif knows that he tested XY and is a male. You know what I'm really sick of? I am sick and tired of these online left-wing bullies. I'm sick and tired of left-wing media saying, well, you can't take away their ability to box. I mean, she was raised as a woman. Well, nobody's taking away their ability to box. I don't care how she was raised. XY chromosome. It's definitive. You're a man. You went through male puberty. That's why you have a man's testosterone level and failed that test too. That's two tests she failed. The testosterone and the genetic one. Nobody's saying you can't box, honey. Go fight a man. Nobody's stopping you from boxing. You're in the same weight class, right? So it's fair weight to weight. You're a dude. He's a dude. Fight him. But you won't win, will you? Because you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You want the spotlight. So you're going to beat up a girl. Take her dream. Because you're not a girl. I don't care how you were raised. You're not a girl. You're not a girl. You know what's really interesting? Do you know where Imani Khalif trains? In Spain. With the Spanish boxing coach for the Spanish team. You know what he said in an interview with UK Mirror? He said that, you know, because they have regular sparring partners, that he tried putting Imani Khalif with the women and it was too dangerous. So they finally found a sparring partner that was appropriate for Khalif. A guy by the name of Jose. And the Spanish coach who has trained with Imani Khalif, who we know is a male, XY chromosome, said, this is not fair. I've been in the gym with Imani Khalif. He hits like a dude. We only let him train with dudes. That's even worse. This individual can't train with women because it's too dangerous, so he trains on men and then he goes in and breaks a woman's nose in 46 seconds. This, folks, this right here is the world they have planned for your daughter. Your kids return to school, or maybe they're already back in school. Imagine they go to school one day and your daughter walks into the girls' bathroom, or what used to be the girls' bathroom, and it's now gender neutral and the boys are in there too. Or maybe she's changing for gym with the boys. Or maybe she's being called to the principal's office because she used the wrong pronoun and now must be punished. All of this is part of Title IX, the decree Joe Biden has executively forced on America's schools. But South Carolina was one of the states that opposed that. And so we were one of the states where it wasn't supposed to be implemented, at least for now. But then a federal judge the other day got some other ideas. Welcome, Attorney General Alan Wilson, state of South Carolina.
Hey. Hey, Tara, it's great to be back with you again.
Yeah, so tell us, this is a nail biter, kind of where we are.
No, you reached out to me last week when I was traveling because this thing was like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was in a coalition of southeastern states. It was us, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, who were challenging the Biden Education Department's rule that would have required any education.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The slogan of the 2024 Olympics should be, I can't win. She's a man. The words actually spoken by the poor boxer who had to fight one of the two male opponents, and they are male. We know that now. So I can't let this go. I got to tell you what's broken overnight because this is fascinating. If you've been watching this drama at all, there's just two boxers, not one, there's two. One is named Damani Khalif, the other one Lin Yu Ting. Okay, there's like this rumor that Khalif has some, was born with some sort of intersex kind of weird chromosomal thing, but that's not been confirmed. It's only been hinted at. There's no medical records. There's nothing. Lin Yu Ting isn't even claiming that. Lin Yu Ting is just an XY chromosome individual. That's a man. There are only two kinds in nature, XX and XY. I'm an XX, I'm a woman. XY is a man. He's a man. He's a man. So if you've been following the news, the woman whose nose, the Italian boxer, whose nose Amani Khalif broke, that fight lasted 46 seconds, and with her broken nose, she said she'd never been hit so far, so hard. She quit the fight, fell to her knees and cried because her dad, who had died, had trained her. And she had promised to win for him. She didn't expect to be smashed in the face by a man. So that's what the world saw. Okay. Well, she then had to apologize to Amani Khalif because she was so brutalized by the left online. And then Khalif gave this interview saying that she'd been bullied and the world needed to stop bullying her and Lin Yu Ting and just leave them alone and all of that. Okay. Now, here's what's been missing from this whole thing. The mainstream media will not tell you this because they lie or they obfuscate. The Olympic, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, has not said, will not say, refused to say what tests these women, I put that in air quotes, took or passed. They said they've been tested, but they wouldn't say what. So it sort of creates this veil of confusion. Well, maybe they sort of are. We didn't know. Well, now we know. Perhaps, Red State writes, if the International Olympic Committee had been more forthcoming about what testing has been done and why there's a difference between their testing and the International Boxing Association, there wouldn't be so many misconceptions. But then if they told us the truth, they'd have to tell us they're both men. That is the undeniable scientific conclusion. No other conclusion can be arrived at when you test XY with a blood test. And now we know. Overnight, the International Boxing Association released what tests both of these individuals, Amani Khalif and Lin Yu Ting, took. They took a blood gender test. You don't get to fail that. There's nothing in between. It's XX or XY. Bottom line. Super simple. And they didn't just take it once. They took it twice. Both of them. Both of them tested XY. That is male chromosome. Again, in nature, there is nothing in between. And again, Lin Yu Ting isn't even claiming to have been born with some sort of gender situation. Genetically. Not even claiming. In fact, Lin Yu Ting signed a document acknowledging that he had tested male. The Olympics let him fight anyway. He smashed a woman in the face the other day. Whereas Khalif refused to sign the document acknowledging that she had tested male. Sorry, he had tested male, and it doesn't matter because he tested male. So because the Olympic Committee hid the tests that were, you know, conducted on these two, we still don't know what they were. Confusion ensued. But now there's no confusion because the International Boxing Association has released it. Now, when Amani Khalif did that tearjerker interview, that was one of the top trending stories in the world. I know, because I have the topic pulse to see it. I went, oh God, are people going to fall for this? When Khalif did that boohoo whining interview, oh no, I was raised as a girl, I get to fight. Doesn't matter. You tested XY. In that interview, when the interviewer asked her, when the interviewer asked him what tests he had undergone, he would not say. Why? Because he knew he had taken the blood test for gender and was a man. X, Y. Super simple, not confusing. Not confusing at all. Listen to this. The International Olympic Committee's own MyInfo website acknowledges both boxers failed the gender eligibility test last year. and that Khalif was disqualified just hours before her gold medal showdown against Yang Liu in the 2023 World Championships in New Delhi, India. After her elevated levels of testosterone failed to meet the eligibility criteria. Now we find out what we did not know until yesterday afternoon. For certain, she failed and is a he. XY chromosome, absolutely definitive. Absolutely definitive. And that is why Imani Khalif, when asked by the journalist, as she's boohooing, oh no, poor me, I'm being bullied, and they say I'm not a woman. And she's asked, what test did you take? And wouldn't say why, because Khalif knows that he tested XY and is a male. You know what I'm really sick of? I am sick and tired of these online left-wing bullies. I'm sick and tired of left-wing media saying, well, you can't take away their ability to box. I mean, she was raised as a woman. Well, nobody's taking away their ability to box. I don't care how she was raised. XY chromosome. It's definitive. You're a man. You went through male puberty. That's why you have a man's testosterone level and failed that test too. That's two tests she failed. The testosterone and the genetic one. Nobody's saying you can't box, honey. Go fight a man. Nobody's stopping you from boxing. You're in the same weight class, right? So it's fair weight to weight. You're a dude. He's a dude. Fight him. But you won't win, will you? Because you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You want the spotlight. So you're going to beat up a girl. Take her dream. Because you're not a girl. I don't care how you were raised. You're not a girl. You're not a girl. You know what's really interesting? Do you know where Imani Khalif trains? In Spain. With the Spanish boxing coach for the Spanish team. You know what he said in an interview with UK Metro? With UK Mirror? He said that, you know, because they have regular sparring partners, that he tried putting Imani Khalif with the women and it was too dangerous. So they finally found a sparring partner that was appropriate for Khalif. A guy by the name of Jose. And the Spanish coach who has trained with Imani Khalif, who we know is a male, XY chromosome, said, this is not fair. I've been in the gym with Imani Khalif. He hits like a dude. We only let him train with dudes. That's even worse. This individual can't train with women because it's too dangerous, so he trains on men and then he goes in and breaks a woman's nose in 46 seconds. This, folks, this right here is the world they have planned for your daughter. Your kids return to school, or maybe they're already back in school. Imagine they go to school one day and your daughter walks into the girls' bathroom, or what used to be the girls' bathroom, and it's now gender neutral and the boys are in there too. Or maybe she's changing for gym with the boys. Or maybe she's being called to the principal's office because she used the wrong pronoun and now must be punished. All of this is part of Title IX, the decree Joe Biden has executively forced on America's schools. But South Carolina was one of the states that opposed that. And so we were one of the states where it wasn't supposed to be implemented, at least for now. But then a federal judge the other day got some other ideas. Welcome, Attorney General Alan Wilson, state of South Carolina.
Hey, Tara. It's great to be back with you again.
Yeah, so tell us, this is a nail biter, kind of where we are.
No, you reached out to me last week when I was traveling because this thing was like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was in a coalition of southeastern states. It was us, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, who were challenging the Biden Education Department's rule that would have required any educational institutions that receive federal funding to define sex to include gender identity. So it would have, schools would have been forced to allow boys in the girls' bathrooms and vice versa, otherwise lose federal funding. It would have also mandated people use pronouns, the chosen pronouns of individual students. And so this rule was actually, we filed up for an injunction at the district court. The district court ruled against us, and that's when you reached out to me. But then within that 24-hour period, we filed an appeal to the 11th Circuit. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals basically paused and said, you know what, we're going to give you an administrative injunction, states, meaning they're going to stop the Biden rule from going into effect while we try to seek a longer-term injunction. And then after we get that longer-term injunction, we intend to argue the merits of this case. Tara, I fully expect this case to go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. There are three other coalitions of states that have also gotten injunctions on this Biden rule. And so we expect the Biden-Harris administration to appeal if they lose the circuit courts, and this will obviously go to the Supreme Court. But that's what's at stake right now.
Wow. So do you feel like until it gets to the Supreme Court that our schools will be protected from it, or could a judge just unilaterally impose it on South Carolina students?
I'm guardedly optimistic. We got the Court of Appeals to get an administrative injunction, which is a shortstop to the rule going into effect, while we argue why it should be enjoined for a longer period of time, because we believe it's going to take a couple of months to fully argue the merits of this. We fully expect there to be an answer to this by later this fall. We expect this to get to the Supreme Court, and so I don't expect this to be drug out the entire school year. My goal is to prevent this rule from going into effect to protect students in South Carolina as well as every other state that's part of this lawsuit.
I don't think that people understand how bad this is, that kids, teachers, administrators will be required to use preferred pronouns and to be punished for not using preferred pronouns, or the school could what, lose their federal funding?
That's right. It's the strings that come attached with the federal dollars. Schools can either bend the knee or they can lose the funding. And what's interesting is it's money that the federal government takes through taxation. And now they're withholding your tax dollars to your children's schools if you do not comply, or if the schools do not comply. That's what's going on here.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. And it's almost dystopian. You know, it's interesting that the Biden-Harris administration is calling Donald Trump they're calling him a fascist and an authoritarian, a dictator. But these are people who truly do want to govern through administrative fiat. They want to rule not through the people's elected representatives. Again, they could have passed a law in Congress redefining the word sex to include gender identity, but they can't do that because the people's elected representatives won't pass that law. So they're trying to rewrite federal law through executive fiat. And that's what the Education Department under Biden's doing. They're basically trying to govern you and your children by just simply changing the laws through liberal bureaucrats in the Department of Education.
It's outrageous. I know this doesn't affect sports teams yet, but yet. Is it at risk of that, and could it affect locker rooms? Like, would boys and girls have to change together if this goes through?
If it goes through and we lose, then the rule will be in effect, and schools who do not enforce this rule, meaning accommodating boys identifying as girls and allowing them to go into girls' locker rooms or girls' restrooms, then yes, this could be the new world that we live in, which is why elections matter. Presidents pick federal judges who have life tenure. You know, we vote at the ballot box for members of Congress and members of the Senate, you know, that vote for these laws, and the president signs them in. And then when the administrative state abuses this power, we have to go to the courts to right the track. And if we don't have the judges, then you basically have an administrative state that governs from the ground up all the way to Washington, D.C.
Wow. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen and that Supreme Court is able to overturn this. Attorney General Alan Wilson, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD. Your kids return to school, or maybe they're already back in school. Imagine they go to school one day and your daughter walks into the girls' bathroom, or what used to be the girls' bathroom, and it's now gender neutral and the boys are in there too. Or maybe she's changing for gym with the boys. Or maybe she's being called to the principal's office because she used the wrong pronoun and now must be punished. All of this is part of Title IX, the decree Joe Biden has executively forced on America's schools. But South Carolina was one of the states that opposed that. And so we were one of the states where it wasn't supposed to be implemented, at least for now. But then a federal judge the other day got some other ideas. Welcome, Attorney General Alan Wilson, state of South Carolina.
Hey.
Hey,
Tara. It's great to be back with you again.
Yeah. So tell us, this is a nail biter, kind of where we are.
No. You reached out to me last week when I was traveling because this thing was like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was in a coalition of southeastern states. It was us, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia, who were challenging the Biden Education Department's rule that would have required any educational institutions that receive federal funding to define sex to include gender identity. So it would have, schools would have been forced to allow boys in the girls' bathrooms and vice versa, otherwise lose federal funding. It would have also mandated people use pronouns, the chosen pronouns of individual students. And so this rule was actually, we filed it for an injunction at the district court. The district court ruled against us, and that's when you reached out to me. But then within that 24-hour period, we filed an appeal to the 11th Circuit. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals basically paused and said, you know what, we're going to give you an administrative injunction, states, meaning they're going to stop the Biden rule from going into effect while we try to seek a longer-term injunction. And then after we get that longer-term injunction, we intend to argue the merits of this case. Tara, I fully expect this case to go all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. There are three other coalitions of states that have also gotten injunctions on this Biden rule. And so we expect the Biden-Harris administration to appeal if they lose the circuit courts. And this will obviously go to the Supreme Court. But that's what's at stake right now.
Wow. So do you feel like until it gets to the Supreme Court that our schools will be protected from it? Or could a judge just unilaterally impose it on South Carolina students?
I'm guardedly optimistic. We got the Court of Appeals to get an administrative injunction, which is a short stop to the rule going into effect, while we argue why it should be enjoined for a longer period of time, because we believe it's going to take a couple of months to fully argue the merits of this. We fully expect there to be an answer to this by later this fall. We expect this to get to the Supreme Court. And so I don't expect this to be drug out the entire school year. My goal is to prevent this rule from going into effect to protect students in South Carolina, as well as every other state that's part of this lawsuit.
I don't think that people understand how bad this is, that kids, teachers, administrators will be required to use preferred pronouns and to be punished for not using preferred pronouns, or the school could what? Lose their federal funding?
That's right. It's the strings that come attached with the federal dollars. Schools can either bend the knee or they can lose the funding. And what's interesting is it's money that the federal government takes through taxation. And now they're withholding your tax dollars to your children's schools if you do not comply, or if the schools do not comply. That's what's going on here.
It's unbelievable.
It really is. And it's almost dystopian. You know, it's interesting that the Biden-Harris administration is calling Donald Trump they're calling him a fascist and an authoritarian, a dictator. But these are people who truly do want to govern through administrative fiat. They want to rule not through the people's elected representatives. Again, they could have passed a law in Congress redefining the word sex to include gender identity, but they can't do that because the people's elected representatives won't pass that law. So they're trying to rewrite federal law through executive fiat. And that's what the Education Department under Biden's doing. They're basically trying to govern you and your children by just simply changing the laws through liberal bureaucrats in the Department of Education.
It's outrageous. I know this doesn't affect sports teams yet, but yet. Is it at risk of that, and could it affect locker rooms? Like, would boys and girls have to change together if this goes through?
If it goes through and we lose, then the rule will be in effect, and schools who do not enforce this rule, meaning accommodating boys identifying as girls and allowing them to go into girls' locker rooms or girls' restrooms, then yes, this could be the new world that we live in, which is why elections matter. Presidents pick federal judges who have life tenure. You know, we vote at the ballot box for members of Congress and members of the Senate, you know, that vote for these laws, and the president signs them in. And then when the administrative state abuses this power, we have to go to the courts to write the track. And if we don't have the judges, then you basically have an administrative state that governs from the ground up all the way to Washington, D.C.
Wow. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen and that Supreme Court is able to overturn this. Attorney General Alan Wilson, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD.